try to finish up chapter 3 tonight. Laodicean Church, beginning at Revelation 3, verses 14 through 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Heavenly Father, bless us tonight as we open your word. Give us the freedom. Give us the peace. Lord, give us wisdom. Fill us with thy Spirit, with understanding. Oh, God, use us to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. We looked at the Laodicean church last week, and I should have went about probably one direction. I tried to go three in 1 hour, and I didn't do as good a job of it as I'd like to have. But at any rate, it's a fantastic passage and a portion of Scripture that has so much in it, the Philadelphian church. But when you come to Laodicea, when you get to Philadelphia, everything's good. Jesus doesn't have any rebuke for her. She doesn't have anything to repent of. What she's doing is right. And that doesn't mean that every church in that time period was all right, but it does mean that the majority, the tenor of the church, was right. She was strong. She had a little strength. She didn't deny his name. She kept his word, and God Almighty used her and loved her and blessed her and gave her promises, and it's just a beautiful passage of Scripture. And there's many ramifications come from it. There are seven churches that are listed here, as there are many sevens in the book of Revelation. We're about to the end of the last church. As I said, every Scripture in the Bible has three interpretations. Every Scripture in the Bible has three. You may not understand all three, but there are three for every one. When it comes to these seven churches, there are three. There is the message that was given by John to a local church in Laodicea, the town of Laodicea, back when this was written about 96 A.D., and the message went to them. It is a historical reality that there was a church, and there were these problems in that particular church. There is a second way that these churches apply, and that is spiritually to churches in every generation of Christians, from the first church, beginning at Pentecost, right on down to the last church, which should be probably in our generation. But there is a third way that they apply. They apply prophetically. Because what God did was to give a complete preview in prophecy of the seven stages that the church would go through in her history before it ever took place. God is the God that sees the end from the beginning. He knows all things. And what he's done by prophecy in this word, by men specially gifted of God, is to foretell the future. And that's exactly what he did. And men that have a knowledge of church history and the history of the world can go back and check out certain events and things that are there. There's so too many similarities for it to be an accident. God Almighty foretold the future of the church in these seven. The period of the open door was from 1500 to 1900. The period of Laodicea is not the period of the open door, my friend. And it begins at about 1900 and runs to the rapture of the church. Just this last night, as my son called me from Guatemala, Central America, Guatemala's been wide open, absolutely wide open. When he told me that three missionary families that were applying for permanent visas had been ordered out of the government within 10 days, had to sell everything and leave, I said, oh no, Guatemala's been open for so many years. Is this the beginning of a closing door in Guatemala? So many places have closed since 1900. China's closed. Russia's closed. Cuba's closed. Much of Latin America with the new nationalism has run out Christians and closed. Many Latin American countries at the present time, Brazil is beginning to close up their doors. Venezuela's closing up her doors. And other places are closing the doors to the preaching of the gospel and for missionaries to go in. You're not living in the day of the open door, my friend. You're living in the day of apostasy and a closed door with Jesus on the outside of the church knocking to get in.
That's right.
That doesn't mean that every single assembly of believers, every church spread around the world, Jesus is on the outside. No. But the tenor of this church age is Laodicea.
Amen.
And I want you to see what it is. We looked at the meaning of each one of these churches as we've gone through them. Laos is the Greek word for people, and diako, dikeo, is to rule. The people rule. Civil rights. You think that doesn't fit with your generation? The rule of the people rule, civil rights. You think that doesn't fit your time and age? There may have been laws passed in time past, but my friend, nothing quite like the civil rights today. Some unjust things have taken place in history past, and some of them have been corrected in our generation. Blacks who should have had the right to vote now have the right to vote. Women got the right to vote. Now then, homosexuals want the right for everything else. Before long, they ain't even got rights for children's rights, where children can sue their parents. I know of a girl in New York who was living an ungodly life, and her father cut off her funds. He said, I'm not going to pay for you to go to college where you live with some boy out of wedlock. And he cut off her funds. You know what she did? She got her smart lawyer, went to court, and the court said he had to put her through a college education no matter what. And the courts passed the law and made him send her through. Civil rights, children's rights, gay rights, all sorts of rights. You think you don't live in Laodicea? You better study your Bible a little more, my friend. You find out where you do live. This is our generation. We're talking about us when we talk about here. By the grace of God, I'd like to see a Philadelphia church in the midst of Laodicea. But I'm afraid too much of us are contaminated with the pollutant of Laodicea to be as strong as we ought to be.
Amen.
And I'm afraid there are too few lives in here tonight that wouldn't have a rebuke from Jesus. But Laodicea means the people rule, the rule of the people, the generation of the day of civil rights. Under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans right. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Remember, in each of the seven churches, there is a message from Jesus Christ. We had a picture of Jesus in the very first chapter. By the way, that's not the picture of Jesus you get painted in many modernistic churches either. I want you to know it's not some effeminate little woman looking like a man hanging on a cross somewhere. That Mary's bigger than him when she carries him down, you know, and all the statues and what have you, and the paintings, medieval paintings. You take a look at chapter 1 of Revelation, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find the judge of all the earth.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to find the priest judge who has eyes like fire and his feet like fine brass burning.
Amen.
You're going to find Jesus in his glory.
Amen.
The Lord of lords and the King of kings that's coming again to rule this world. And he's not going to rule it with a sweet little please. He's going to rule it with a rod of iron. Obey or be damned. Obey or die. Jesus is Lord. You know something? There's not going to be anybody he's going to go to for counsel. He's not going to need the United Nations. He's not going to need a majority or a group of the people to come up and give him up. No, sir. Jesus Christ is going to be the greatest despot this world has ever known.
Amen.
King. Absolute king. He will bow to no man's authority, and kings will tremble if they have any sense when they come under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My Bible says, every knee shall bow in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. You know what over hell is? Huh? You have a hard time finding directions? In heaven, on the earth, under the earth, every knee is going to bow. Every knee in hell is going to bow. My Bible says every tongue in heaven, every tongue on the earth, every tongue in hell, my friend, every tongue out of the earth is going to confess, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Every single one of them. Oh, my friend, listen to me. Here's the picture this church gets. The Amen, the so be it, the let it be. Praise God. A faithful and true witness. As corrupt, as political minded, as the church is today, as interested in social reform so much that she'll corrupt the Word of God on every chance she gets. She'll compromise anything and everything for just a little bit of prestige and acceptance in the community. He's the faithful and true witness. He doesn't compromise because people don't like it. He doesn't try to walk the middle of the road thing with the hot on one side and the cold on the other. And him trying to walk lukewarm so he can please the cold and please the hot too. No, sir. This is the faithful witness. This is the man that will witness right down to the death and give a good witness before Pontius Pilate. This is the man that walks completely dedicated and full to the will of God until he walks to the cross of Calvary. And there as he hangs, my friend, he completely offers the burnt offering to God Almighty. Absolutely, totally, completely consumed. And when he rises from the grave, he carries that blood and he spreads it on the altar, spreading hell.
Amen.
From that day to this, your sins have been covered. If you're in Jesus Christ, if you're outside of Jesus Christ, you're still in your sins and under the law.
Right.
But as that song we sang tonight, free from the law. Praise God, He did it once for all.
Amen.
Once for all. He is the faithful witness. He is the true witness. To a church that's not a faithful witness, to a church that's not a true witness, though they think they are. I'll tell you what. The beginning of the creation of God. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. You don't need anything but Jesus.
That's right.
He is our all in all. He is our everything. What else do you need but Jesus tonight? Not one thing. There's many a compromising preacher in this day that thinks he needs rich people in his congregation. There's many a compromising preacher today that thinks he needs to please certain influential people. There's many a compromising preacher that thinks he needs to please the denomination or denominational leaders. I want you to know something. The only thing you need is Jesus.
Amen.
He's not only the beginning, He's the A to the Z, and He's everything in between. You know, I'll tell you what, on a chessboard, on the first four moves, there are 3 million possibilities. That staggers my mind. I like to play chess. I like checkers even better. Fantastic games. That's about the only two I really like, but they're worthwhile. They're worth my time. I used to spend a lot of time on it. I haven't played much lately. If I don't want to play somewhere, you let me know. We'll get a game or two up. Some tremendous possibilities that are there. But have you ever thought what the possibilities are from A to Z? 26 letters? Why, just get you a big Webster's dictionary and you got over 100,000 entries. And how far can it go? It's infinite. There's no ending to it. Jesus is the everything. He's the all that you need. You don't need the world, and you don't need the show. You don't need the approval. You don't need anything but Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody said one man with Jesus is a majority, and that's all you need. You don't need anything else. One man with Jesus, that's all you need.
Amen.
You better make up your mind in this generation we live in that it's going to cost you something if you stand for Jesus Christ, and this is a generation that don't like to pay. Isn't that right? You hear the people griping about the taxes and the prices and the inflation. You don't like to pay, do you? No, you don't like to pay. You're the richest people that have ever lived, and yet you gripe about how much you pay. Isn't that something? We're griping about how things are going up, inflation's going up. That's just because we lived in one of the greatest generations financially the world's ever seen. That's true. As bad as it may seem to you, you just think what you got. You say, oh, I can remember when a dollar bought, and I'll do the same thing. I'll show them one of those candy bars about like that for a nickel we used to get, you know. We stretch it a little bit. And that great big soda pop, you know, that just fill you up for a nickel. Well, you know something? There's a lot more kids got candy bars today than had them then. Huh? Oh, yeah, you paid $600 for an automobile. Now you pay $5,000, $7,000, $14,000 for one. A lot more people driving automobiles now than there were then. Yeah, the average home in America costs $60,000. That's what they told me on TV the other week. But you know, there's more people living in homes now and own their own homes than did then. Well, I'll tell you what, we just don't like to pay. We just want to be richer and richer and richer. We just want all the goodies to come to ourselves. This is a generation that doesn't want to pay in more than one way. How about spiritually?